Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
Absolutely. And it's Lincoln Inspired because it's the third Wednesday of the month, and that's where we get all inspired on air as far as Lincoln's concerned. And jumping straight in to the first topic, which is quite extraordinary, given that it's produced by the Association of Accounting Technicians, in which a survey of 2,000 employed adults in the United Kingdom have reported that ethics is a grey area for many people. And 36% of folk would rather work for a company that paid them more, even one over one whose morals they agreed with. Now, does this say something about our kind of post-Brexit environment, our post-Trump environment? To address this issue and talk more about ethics in the workplace, we're delighted to welcome Director of Strategy and Professional Standards at the Association of Accounting Technicians, AAT, the fantastic Adam Harper. Good afternoon, Adam.
Good afternoon.
Adam, extraordinary line here in terms of ethics. I know the old line, oh yes, ethics, it's a little close to Sussex for me, basically, but it's a different issue entirely. The whole notion of employees and companies and businesses being ethical. We spent a lot of time at the University of Lincoln talking about the importance of ethical approval forms in our research, and we like to embed ethics in our sort of academic material. But in the workplace, it's even more important, isn't it?
I would argue that it is. I mean, fundamentally nowadays, there's a greater degree of focus on this, and businesses are going to be increasingly reliant upon their reputation in order to survive and indeed grow.
Allowing for reputation, presumably managers also need to be aware that if you get a reputation for unethical behaviour, that could actually have a serious impact on the reputation of the business that could be a long-term damager.
Yeah, I mean, I think that can manifest itself in a couple of ways. You'll have instances now whereby consumers are exercising a degree of choice as to which services and products they use, driven by whether or not they feel aligned to the ethical standpoint of the organisation that either produces those services or goods. And I think something which we're seeing increasingly now from a point of view of employment, individuals are making choices around organisations that they wish to work for, again, dependent upon how the ethics of that organisation is aligned to their own personal views on these matters.
Also, a fact that emerged from the survey, 9 out of 10 people say that they do uphold ethical standards in their workplace. Is that literally ranging from not actually sequestering office stationery to ensuring that actually if you say you're going to do something, you're going to do it? Because, I mean, ethics, it's such a wide field. I mean, Spinoza's ethics, it would take years to unpick that particular area.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. It can manifest itself in a number of different ways, and inevitably people will interpret it in different ways too. I think fundamentally it's an issue of behaviours and recognising that there's a role that no matter what position you occupy within an organisation to sort of set some standards, whether that be at management level or indeed within more junior roles, because if you can see around you that your peers are behaving in a particular way or that it's clearly articulated from a management perspective as to how it's expected you're going to behave, then those behaviours, positive, if that's what's being delivered, are going to then influence others around you.
Inspired on Air is very much focusing on the arts sector in Lincoln and everything from theatre management through to a whole range of sort of activities. Lincoln Drill Hall, the new Theatre Royal. We'll be speaking, in fact, to Sarah Bullimore from the new Lincoln Theatre Royal later on in the programme. Is there a kind of variation in terms of whether people are involved in manufacturing or in the scientific subjects or in the accounting sector as opposed to in the more creative arts sector?
I think that inevitably there'll be elements which are consistent across different sectors. I think one of the key things just to emphasise, given that this is a piece of work we've commissioned and look to issue some comments on, is if you take our profession, the accountancy profession, all of the members of AAT are required to abide by a code of professional ethics. And I think that, there are certain professions whereby that takes a much higher level of prevalence in terms of expected behaviours and indeed ways in which that can be policed. But I think irrespective of that, coming back to the point I made earlier about it being about behaviours, I think that there's a real case to be made in terms of this being something which permeates across all sectors.
Almost a quarter of people surveyed, and a reminder, it was 2,000 employed adults who were surveyed by the Association of Accounting Technicians, said that they'd actually worked somewhere with ethical practices they didn't agree with, although only 13% of those actually left the job because of it. Presumably in the current environment, again, if you are going to be a whistleblower, you have to be very careful and sure on your footing that you can actually say, I'm sorry, I don't agree with what's going on here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that, again, there's a role for professional organisations like ours to be able to provide support and guidance for individuals who find themselves in those difficult situations. Mm-hmm. But clearly, as you rightly pointed out, in the current economic climate, it's not going to be feasible for individuals to be able to walk away without giving proper and lengthy consideration as to the personal impact that that's going to have. But by the same token, where individuals do so and they set an example to that extent, I think that's something which we should look to applaud, because it does have an impact in the way in which it would then be picked up on by others and indeed help to sort of like set standards.
We're really talking about standards, as you rightly said here, and I was interested to find that employees taking sick days when they're not ill, yes, throwing a sickie, we've heard about that, that can obviously have an impact financially on the companies and firms that they're working for, but actually applying for a new job whilst sitting at their desk in their current one. That initially I thought, well, I could maybe appreciate that, but yeah, at the same time, if you're dedicated to one particular element, as indeed a recent manager of England possibly found, you shouldn't really be talking about what to actually do as and when that might come to an end.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's an element of personal judgment that has to be born here as well. And, you know, what's difficult for us, whilst we have these figures, we aren't able to unpick each and every circumstance that would back up the way in which individuals did respond to that. But I think that, yeah, I mean, that those sort of issues that were highlighted, and indeed some of the others that we're coming through. So we had an instance whereby of those that responded, 58% said that they considered it would be wrong to take credit for other people's work. Well, you flip that on its head, it does suggest that there are 42% of people who would be quite happy to do that, or at least would consider it wouldn't be entirely unethical for them to do so. And I think that you could argue that very much as being something which would be very difficult to defend.
As we said at the top of the piece, Adam, some fascinating aspects in this study, but as you also pointed out, this is a kind of exploration. It's the start. I mean, you can obviously open up a whole range of things here. Where can people find out more about ethics in the workplace?
Well, in terms of AAT, we have information that's available via AAT's website, which is predominantly about the role that our members play and the accountants. In general. But if anybody would be interested in looking at that, then obviously you can access that via www.aat.org.uk.
Adam, it's been splendid touching base with your good self again. I think it's fascinating when we talk about the ethical value of a whole range of things, whether it's the arts, the sciences and so on. Many thanks for your time. Thanks for launching Inspired On Air. Such a fascinating input in terms of workplace ethics and where we actually hold them as a country, as a culture in the 21st century. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Some might say that the gift of life is the best gift you could ever possibly have. But let's take it a couple of stages further on Inspired On Air. Ace psychologist, author, media spokesperson, somebody who can be inspiring in every sense of the word, and joining us for the first time on the Inspired On Air programme, we're delighted to be able to welcome Linda Papadopoulos. How are you, Linda?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Delighted to speak to you as ever. Now, this particular aspect, which I thought was quite fascinating in all sorts of ways, 74% of a recent survey suggested that most folk would rather give a gift than receive one. And nearly a quarter of people believe that mums buy the best gifts. This is research that's been produced to actually explore the whole notion of gifts and giving and working through that basis. Were you surprised at all, Linda, by this research?
Actually, no. I've been actually quite aware of the fact that giving's really good for you. So what very.co.uk did with this research is they looked at 1,500 adults and 500 children. I think one of the sweetest stats that came out of this was that we found that, 75% of adults said they love to give. In fact, they prefer to give than to receive. When we asked the 500 children, 70% of them said, no, actually, we like to receive as opposed to giving. And I think that's really telling of our relationship with gift-giving across the ages. I think when we're very little, it's kind of very focused on ourselves, right? We're the center of our universe. But as we get older, we recognize that actually giving to someone is intuitively, it feels good. And part of it, I think, is about connecting with people. But I think part of it is sort of swing back to kind of our ancestors and evolution and how the people that stayed the most connected were the ones that were able to be, I guess, altruistic and think about others. And because I think kind of that sort of kindness is contagious. If I give you my time, a gift, my energy, then you're bound to feel good and you're bound to kind of either pay that back to me or pay it forward to someone else.
As you rightly said, very.co.uk, the online retailer responsible for this research. I did like the notion that 3% of British people surveyed by Very preferred to buy a present for their pets over their grandparents.
That's slightly worrying.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. You could say, well, I'm sorry, Grandma, Grandpapa. It's just, the snuggles, the hamster. Actually, I just felt needed it more than your good self, really. So
exactly. But you got to wonder, are they saying that because it's, that notion of pets having quite childlike qualities, right? And sort of that excitement. Although I'm not sure a pet would really recognize. I mean, they'd be just as happy with anything, a stick for the gift.
Linda, that's a whole new area of psychology that we could explore for another day. And indeed another series of programmes and so on. Looking at the nation as a whole, it would seem that those in the Northeast come out top with 84% preferring to give a gift rather than to receive one. The Northwest, 81%. Scotland and Wales, pretty much in line with the national average, with just over three quarters favouring giving a gift. And in the East Midlands, our very own Lincolnshire zone, etc., 70% is the figure that actually puts the East Midlands in ninth position in terms of the nation's most giving regions. So interesting lines there in terms of the overall setup. But it would seem that mothers, at the end of the day, are ultimately the best folk to actually do all those Christmas packaging, etc. And it's not just a male thing saying, I can't cope with the last minute Christmas Eve rush. It needs to be planned out beforehand. Hand it over to mum.
I know. Well, I think that's part of it. But also, again, if you think through evolution, this idea that women had to read sort of the clan, right, to keep it together better. They had to read nonverbals, they had to read emotions. And one has to wonder if the whole idea of gift giving and kind of reading, those signals about what someone wants, what they would like, just sort of comes easier to them. Or it may very well be that, we've been socialized into thinking, well, it's better if mom does it. Mom's more on top of those things.
We're talking about clearly Christmas shows, a whole series of events. I mean, we've got Treasure Island still running as far as the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre is actually concerned. We'll be talking in a few minutes with Sarah Bullimore, head of marketing at the new Lincoln Theatre Royal. Clearly, there's the opportunity to actually give gifts of tickets, of events, and all sorts of other areas. I mean, Linda, from your own point of view, do people prefer the physicality of something they can tangibly hold? Is it a case of maybe a ticket that's a sort of forthcoming attraction they can look through? I was fascinated to find that one in six people actually believe that ultimately the best gift you can give someone is a hug.
Yeah, one in six kids.
That's true.
No, it's definitely a hug, which I thought was adorable. Look, I think it's ultimately what's important to you. You know, the whole cliche of it's the thought that counts. I think it's a cliche because it's true. Someone that thinks about you, that you know, it's not just, you know, a tick next to a box. I had to buy you a gift and I did. But I sat down and I took a moment and I thought, what is this person into? What do they value? So, you know, like you said, if you love the theater, if you love music or sports, or if you're the kind of person, you know, that perhaps loves gadgets or fashion, whatever it is, I think there's something about that gift being more special because someone took the time to consider what you value.
And are there cultural differences? Because, you know, clearly from your own perspective, Linda, you're a Canadian psychologist of Greek Cypriot background, based in the UK. Is it a case of, well, if I was back in Canada, we'd have a completely different format to what we have in the UK? As far as Greek and Cyprus are concerned, it's a different perspective entirely.
Do you know what? Actually, in my experience, it's really similar. I mean, the idea that, you know, being able to give someone something is special. And I kind of think, you know, one of the things, again, that when you speak to kids in research like this, it's sort of a rite of passage that I've been able to save up my money. I've been able to look and find something. So I think regardless of the culture, that, you know, that notion that it's a privilege to be able to give, I think is something that sort of transcends it.
Looking at some of the final sort of statistics to look at this in terms of Britain's top 10 gift buyers, just briefly running through that, work colleagues, secret Santas presumably, 0.27%, fairly low from that perspective, grandfathers 0.4%, grandmothers 2%, brothers in 7th position at 7th place, fathers at in 6th, sisters at 8%, best friends and friends in 4th with 9%, and then we're into children, mums and partners are the best or the top 10 gift buyers. Is, shall we say?
Well, yeah, I guess so. And I think, you know, it's about proximity, isn't it? Proximity of relationships. So you kind of, you know, you've got partners right up top, and then you've got moms who are often tasked with this, like we spoke about before. And then it kind of, interestingly, sort of the male relatives are both lower. Dads and brothers are lower down than our sort of moms and children. But I'm wondering how much of that, again, is this idea that it becomes a bit of a chore for people. So I was speaking to some people about this this morning, and one of the journalists was saying, well, you know what, I just leave everything to the last minute. And I'm like, well, that's why it becomes so stressful. You've got to plan these things.
Yeah, it's sort of fail to prepare to fail. That's another line entirely. And now clearly most people will actually see, well, any book written by Linda Papadopoulos has got to be on my top Christmas list in terms of gifts in all sorts of ways. But if people are more interested in finding out about very.co.uk and want to find out more about this particular research in particular, where should they go?
Well, if they go onto the very.co.uk website, there's some really interesting stats and info on that.
Well, that makes perfect sense. And we did say that ultimately, if we're looking at the best things in life being free, I think we'll wrap up with the Beatles and Free as a Bird, if it's okay with your good self.
Beautiful.
Linda, it's been a pleasure as ever. Many thanks for joining us on Inspired on Air. We'll speak again soon. Take care now.
Thanks so much.
listening to this hour's A Thursday Night Package. It'll be too late to get tickets for Pinocchio at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, but I have to say, if you're listening to it on a Wednesday live, it's well worth checking out the delights of the Jasmine Vardaman Company, who are presenting a brand new adaptation of the classic tale Pinocchio at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. We spoke to Jasmine a couple of weeks ago, and it's going to be an outstanding production. It's already been acclaimed across the country, and I'm sure it'll go down extremely well in Lincoln as well. Don't forget, of course, Commuter Jazz also kicks off as far as the weekend is concerned at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre Zing Cafe Bar between 5 and 7pm. And also, this very week, we've got on Friday evening, Ahmed Djalili, Schmuck for a Night, award-winning comedian and actor Ahmed Djalili, known for his legendary stand-up performances, back on a nationwide tour. And I'm sure he'll have a lot of contemporary comments to make as well. We'll be focusing on the new Lincoln Theatre Royal, their upcoming pantomime, a whole range of key important things here on Inspired On Air, your very own Inspired On Air monthly arts-based production, which keeps you abreast of all kind of happenings that are culturally aware within the Lincoln region, just for you, because, frankly, you deserve no less. From Lincoln's first community radio station, Siren FM. Oh, Wilson Phillips, Hold On. And if we hold on, we can welcome the delightful soul that is Sarah Bullimore. Yay, Sarah!
Hello, Alex.
Now, let's describe where you are, because after all, Sarah, this is your show. I simply am allowed to come in every month, third Wednesday of every month, and press a few buttons. And people might have said, well, where's Michael Blackburn? Where's Sue Rice? Where are some of the fine folk from the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre? When you can actually talk about various... Where's Sarah herself? So busy, so hectic. We're still looking to Still Drifting with Ray Lewis, November the 27th, 2016. Cinderella, it's happening. Ian Reddington.
All go
Harry Katona, all the things. The clock is ticking, and you know, I would say it's a triple whammy of festive delights. In fact, I was speaking with one of our mutual friends and colleagues and erstwhile co-host of Inspired on Air, when he's also not sort of working nose to the grindstone, that's Ed Wellman, and we were saying, we must really check out some of the pantomime scenarios that are here. And of course, at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, as we know, and Alice Dale and Julie Ellaby will quite rightly say, it's not a pantomime, it's a Christmas show. And the Christmas show is Treasure Island, and we know that. But that, you can have it as a sort of one aspect, one flavour. Cinderella, of course, at the new Lincoln Theatre Royal is undoubtedly a pantomime.
It is indeed, yes. Al. It's such a classic, beautiful story and tale as well. So we're really, really looking forward to welcoming the cast soon so we can get cracking with the rehearsals and on with the show, as they say.
Of course, you know, had it not been for Kerry's availability, I hear that you would have been Cinderella your good self. But yeah, that's the way the thing actually happens.
Yeah, I'm sure. Next year, it's all next year.
Listen, I've been blown away by my two events so far that went so sensationally up the scale of good quality theatrical experiences. The first, of course, was the launch production that you actually had of Arthur, which was a sensational scenario there based on Michael Morpurgo's Arthur, of course.
That's
which
right.
Went extremely well. And then you followed that up with a sensational double whammy with, of course, President... Not the American president, but he does actually have a D, President Dave Bussey, behind things. And that was the delightful CAODS, the County Amateur Operatic Dramatic Society interpretation of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. It has to be said, Sarah, the member of the cast who undoubtedly stole every plaudit from all of our reviewers here was the Chihuahua.
Oh, well, but, you know, the animals, the dogs, they always upstage everybody.
It is. And this is the reason why, as we said earlier in the production today, when we were speaking with Linda Papadopoulos, 3% of people actually prefer to buy a present for their pets over their grandparents. It's the Chihuahua effect. I sadly didn't manage to get to see the latest routine, but how are things going? Because, I mean, this is an exciting time for the new Lincoln Theatre Royal, as we've followed the whole thing through, and we actually feel that we're kind of officially sort of branding the whole thing as an essential part of Inspired on Air. How's the season progressing?
It's going really well, Alex. We kind of set the bar, really, with King Arthur kind of kicking the season off. So all the productions that I've been ever since have been getting kind of rave reviews. We had Nobody's Perfect, some comedy drama last week. We had Paddy in at the weekend, which was a musical drama, to an outstanding audience on Sunday evening with a standing ovation and not a dry eye in the house. It was apparently an amazing and beautiful production. And right now, which is why I've come back in the office after going outside, because we've got a matinee on this afternoon, we've got A Party to Murder this week, which ends this evening, and that's getting rave reviews as well. So it's all going swimmingly.
I do believe that Linden Books' very own Jill Hart is checking out A Party to Murder.
Attending this evening. We will await that review.
Well, yeah, that could be the game changer, of course. So we work through that. And clearly we're already looking towards the spring schedule in terms of what else is happening.
We are.
Just before we actually move into that, because then we might take a mini musical break for that, let's go back to Cinderella, because as we said, the clock is ticking, so book now. Are tickets still available for the pantomime?
They are still available, but the peak time shows are really selling incredibly fast. So I would say don't leave it a minute longer. Go and have a look at all the dates that are available and get your tickets booked as soon as possible.
I'm currently looking at the New Theatre Royal Lincoln.co.uk website. You might say, what about all those flies I gave you? Well, they're so popular, they just vanished. You know, they just headed off in all sorts of ways, etc. But people can still use the traditional telephone by getting in touch with you via 014.
They can indeed. All our WhatsApp guides have gone.
Yeah.
So that's absolutely fantastic. But in the interim, before we will get the spring brochure in 2 weeks' time. Mm. But yes, please do go to the website.
And you can use that wonderful thing called the telephone to reach the...
And come in and say hello as well.
01522 519999. That's 01522 519999. Sarah, I've got to ask a question as well. How is Natalie finding it? Because I mean, again, the excitement that she's put, I mean, all the effort that obviously Natalie and her husband has put into the whole revitalization of the New Theatre Royal Lincoln. We're really keen for it to pay dividends and so on. How's she finding the whole scenario?
Fantastic. It's just getting busier and busier, really. So we find ourselves catching up with ourselves and then having to catch up more, just because we're getting everything ready for Panto and for the spring season, as you said earlier on as well. So it's all going great and really, really busy.
And the other thing, of course, is had you been able to join us personally in the studio today, you would have actually been presented with the official 2017 Inspired on Air Adventures in Podcasting calendar, which features your good self and indeed the aforementioned Natalie as well. So, make sure that's actually there. Sarah, stay with us. We want to talk a bit more about the New Theatre Royal Lincoln, how people can get involved with it, how people can actually sign up as one of the friends of the theatre, what sort of connections are actually there. Maybe a little tease ahead to some of the spring sequences. I know 2017, it seems as though it's just around the corner. Don't worry.
I know.
You know, as Linda Papadopoulos said, you know, I think I might have mentioned it myself, fail to prepare, prepare to fail. It's always worthwhile just getting some sort of things to look forward to. All this and more after Madness.
Temptation took a hold of you. You gazed and gazed into the mirror, hanging from the bathroom wall, and there decided just exactly where it was you were going to. Given the opportunity, you'd strip me bare. Given the opportunity, you take me. I have nothing more to add. I have nothing left to say. So just go away. I'm throwing it all away. Do you remember the last time? Old temptation took you out for a spin. You arrived in, but nearly died in. Oh, the hurt and anguish you put your loved ones through. Given the opportunity, you'd strip me bare. Given the opportunity, you'd take me. I have nothing more to add. I have
have nothing left to say, so just go away.
Proving they've still got a certain amount of musical madness and magic. That is madness from the 1980... When am I saying 1980? There we go, Sarah. Suddenly I jump back to the 20th century, the 2016 album. What can I say? It's unbelievable. All right, moving on. Our new Theatre Royal Lincoln. A little sneak preview of one of the grand experiences we can look forward to in the spring. It will be...
It will be G4.
G4.
The wonderful vocal harmony group. So, yeah, we're really, really excited, actually, to be welcoming them back. They're going to be coming on the 9th of March. Following there, they're going to be doing a Christmas show in Lincoln as well, which is really doing well. So we're really looking forward to welcoming them back in the new season.
And I think that's something that has certainly struck me, not just with the new Theatre Royal Lincoln, but clearly with the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, with the... the range of other sort of aspects there, the collection and so on, that there's a quality and a standard that is really actually almost light years ahead of previous years. I mean, you're pulling out all the stops for the whole thing, which is always great stuff.
Absolutely.
However, it is important to note that you can support your very own new Lincoln Theatre Royal, or New Theatre Royal Lincoln, let's be precise, because over the next few years you're going to be developing a range of ways in which the fantastic theatre itself can be supported. Would you like to share one of the key ways in which people might be able to sort of support that, even if it's something along the basis of sort of, you know, if you're a local business, you might sort of want to sort of get involved with some of the sort of show sponsorship and so on?
Definitely, Alex. We're really, really pleased to launch, I'm just grabbing my hand on one at the moment, our brand new Friends of the Theatre loyalty card. So as you said, this is going to be part of our massive fundraising campaign. We don't receive any kind of support or grants at the moment. So all the fundraising that we do and people just coming and buying tickets and things really helps to make sure that we survive and thrive in the future and we're going to still be here for the city. And Friends of the scheme is basically £20 a year. And it includes so many benefits. It is unreal at the moment. So we've got lots of core theatre benefits. So priority booking on at seasons, 5% discount at the bar. We've got some ticket deals on specific shows. And if you book now, we've got 10% off the pantomime for 2016 for any tickets that you book. So lots of core benefits, but also, as you mentioned as well, working with all the businesses, we're setting up lots of seasonal kind of offers, working with all businesses across the city as well. So your card includes various discounts in restaurants and shops and hairdressers. And we're also working with the City Council, who are going to be offering us car parking tickets. So all our friends can purchase evening car parking for £1. So. And it's all fabulous.
And for people who are listening to this live on the third Wednesday of the month, which is, of course, today, no, Wednesday, November the 16th, as opposed to listening to the rerun and repeat on a Thursday evening, which would be the 17th, there is a great offer for Inspired On Air listeners, I think, possibly
indeed.
Connecting with the Elton John story.
That's right, yes. We would like to offer anyone listening live now today to our Inspired On Air customers, we would like to offer them a wonderful special bog-off buy one, get one free deal on the Elton John story tomorrow evening. So the performance is at 7:30 p.m. here at the theatre. It's the Elton John story, narrated and performed by the fabulous Jimmy Love. So if you fancy a bit of an evening of rock and roll, you kind of want to avoid the Christmas lights, or you want to go and do some Christmas shopping first and catch them and then come here, all you need to do is to call our box office and quote bog off, or pop in and quote bog off and get your tickets.
It's not going to really work in terms of a strap line for Inspired On Air. I mean, I still like be inspired as opposed to bog off. It just, I'm sorry. Exactly. I think you've got to still work our way there. You buy one, get one free. I know it's an acronym.
Yeah.
Listen, before you go, Sarah, I want to actually sort of do a final sort of wrap up for the new Lincoln Theatre Royal. But it's time for you to wear the mantle of musical producer. And allowing for the pantomime, we're going to offer you a range of possible tunes to go to.
Okay.
There's Britney Spears singing Cinderella. There's from the movie Cinderella, Elena Woods and the Little Mice singing A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes. Or there's Louis Armstrong singing Bibbidi 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 Bobbidi Bo. Where are you going to go?
Oh my goodness.
Britney
I'm
Spears,
quite
Cinderella,
torn,
Louis Armstrong.
Let's Bibbidi go Bo. With the film version.
Yeah. So now is that Bibbidi Bobbidi Bo or Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes?
The Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes.
Okay, mice, are you ready?
Killjoy. I hear you. Come on, get up, you say. Time to start another day. Even he orders me around. Well, there's one thing. They can't order me to stop dreaming. And perhaps someday, the dreams that I wish will come true.
I just wonder whether Carrie Katona will manage to sort of evince the same sort of mood. It's extraordinary.
Oh, that's beautiful, Alex. That's made my day.
There you go. A dream is a wish your heart makes, and that dream could be to attend a production at the New Theatre Royal Lincoln. Which has brought us to the end of another Inspired On Air. Apart from reminding folk that you can go to newtheatreroyallincoln.co.uk or indeed check out the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre or indeed sort of any of the aspects we've been talking about today together with Dr. Linda Papadopoulos on the ideal Christmas gift or indeed Adam Harper in Ethics in the Workplace. An extraordinary line, but still, never mind, that's what we've covered. Sarah, it's time for you to lead us in that final concluding two words that we wrap up every Inspired On Air with. So, a one, a two, a three.
Be inspired.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.